They teach us that birth needs medical intervention, that labor hurts, so we wonder why we should go through pain to welcome our baby into the world. Then we hear about obstetric violence that leaves us with a bitter taste, birth experience, and a feeling that there must be more to birth. I hear all of this, and I believe with all my heart that another reality is possible. That as women, we all have the keys inside us to birth our babies and their placentas. My name is Mags, and with my husband Keith, we are the Quantic Family. Every week, I get the privilege to sit with passionate people that speak to us authentically about birth and the quantic energy around pregnancy, birth, and beyond. My intention is to diffuse their messages to allow you to make enlightened choices that truly resonate with who you are. I see this podcast as a caring and intimate place where you can allow yourself to be who you truly are and reconnect to the power within you to accompany your baby on his journey. I also wish for your partner to find his place in the middle of this transformational process so that together you become the strong foundation of your family. I truly believe that along we go faster, but together we go further. So join us. Together, let's come out of the belief system created by our society and reconnect with our intuition. Each birth is unique. May yours be truly authentic. What a pleasure to be back with you in this new year 2021. My name is Mags, and I hope you are ready to launch this new year's journey towards your true and authentic self. I've prepared for you fantastic episodes with passionate people, and surprises are to come along. I am still passionate about birth and the quantic around pregnancy, birth, and beyond. Before I leave you with today's episodes, I am so happy to tell you that Keith and I, the Quantic Family, we've prepared for you a series of three free videos to involve your partner in making childbirth an enhanced, positive, and transformational experience. You will find the link to this series underneath the podcast episode. And you can also find it in our link tree on Instagram and Facebook. Each birth is unique. Make yours be truly authentic. Hello, 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 and welcome to the podcast Authentic Birth. My name is Mags, also known as Magali Serré, Authentic Mum on the social media, and with my husband, we are the Quantic Family. I am really happy to be here with you today, and today with us, we have Marie-Laure Grégora. Bonjour, Marie-Laure.
Hello, Mags. Hello, everybody.
And I switched naturally to French because Marie and I are obviously both French. And when we speak in French. But I could not miss the opportunity to offer you this interview with her. Marie-Laure, you have got four children. And the difference in age between the third one and the fourth one are 17 years. Which is absolutely incredible. I really want us to talk about this deep connection that you've had with your daughter, your last one, and that you started it with it before she was even born. And before we go into
going into that very interesting, I think, conversation, I would like just to explain who you are to the people that don't know you, if that's okay with you. So you were a doctor. You started as a doctor, and then in the adventure of your own life, where you added homeopathy, acupuncture, and all these other tools to your baggage, you continue supporting people with the wanting to really support them on their journey in really finding who they are and put consciousness in this event in their life and what was happening. And thanks to all these tools you added, you just continue along with your patient absolutely naturally, which I find it just like right. So would you like to tell us a bit more about that journey and how it came to you?
Of course, I will. So as you said, I started as a doctor. I was working in a rural town. So the other doctors were, I should say, normal doctors, you mean, you see, prescribing pills and drugs and syrup. And many people told me afterwards that I was different because I was explaining what was happening in the body. Why does it hurt? How the medicine will work, what it will do in their body. And so when people understand what's going on with their body and how the treatment is supposed to interfere, they will accept it and work with it instead of working against it. And it's very powerful for them. And I realized after a few years that when life has something to tell us, it can speak through our body and illness. But if I'm okay in my relationship with my body, it won't take this way. There is always a theme, a path in the life where we are less comfortable. Maybe it's about our children. Maybe it's about money. Maybe it's about health. So life will go to this very path to put us in reaction. We can't stay neutral when it comes to that path. We feel forced to react. And that's how life managed to put us in action and evolve. So I opened the guidance I gave, not only through health, but through any rock in the shoe. And help people make a conscious work that, okay, it happens, but it's not for free. I have something to learn through that. And maybe one day I will call it a gift. And that's a wonderful journey to walk with the people. And of course, I first tried to walk it by myself. Otherwise, I wouldn't be the right person to bring people into this way of doing.
I love how you said that, like, all the little rocks in our shoes are actually messages on our way because we have something to learn from it. And it can then become a gift.
I don't know about you, but I'm quite lazy in life. So you see, when I have a full plate of food, I have a house to protect my head, I have a warm cover on my bed, and and the cat, and you see, I do not want to change anything. I could stay like this, but life is movement. When you don't move, it's not life. You see, when you record the life, the heartbeats, if you have a straight line, it's not life.
Absolutely.
It's better when you have highs and lows, otherwise you're not alive anymore. And sometimes I really need a rock in my shoe to go on, to move, to go further. Otherwise I could stay where I am. I need sometimes to have a rest and just be grateful for what I have, what I've already done, what have been given to me. But after a while, it has to go on again. And if I'm too comfortable, I say, oh, well, in an hour, oh, in a day, or maybe, and it never starts, actually.
I've never seen it so clearly as you explain it, is that this similarity of life and the heartbeat. There's like movement, movement, rest. Movement, movement, rest. There is that part of rest in the equation, but there is that part of up and down also, how we show it on the screen. So really in that heartbeat, we have all this possibilities that life show us and kind of teach us to be in. This is amazing.
Yeah, that's exactly that. Exactly. Yeah.
So if we take that back into, you really explain really well how our link with our body is important. And I think it becomes even more important when you're pregnant, because you do this transformation that you spoke about that life brings us all the time. When we're pregnant, it just multiplies, it accelerates it. And every day and every month, there is a big transformation into us to create this baby inside us. And of course, I think from what you said, we need that connection in our body. But there are also other possibilities. And I loved you explained it in the form, you know, I suggest you feel before we had this interview, where you said that the pregnancy is a fantastic pretext, is a fantastic opportunity to authorize ourselves to a different sensitivity in this body.
Yeah, well, actually, in my pattern, in my way of seeing life, we are much more than a physical body. We have several bodies. My physical body is my emotional, my mental, my spiritual. And each body has to be fed with its own food. And each body has to be connected with the other. And then I am a whole being. When I'm pregnant, all of these bodies are hired by the baby.
I love it.
And he's coming with all his own bodies. Not only his physical body in my physical body, but he's also coming as a whole being with emotions, with thoughts, with beliefs. And maybe a kind of mission to bring to life. And while we're pregnant, we have the ability to connect all these parts of our baby. We can do it with anybody in real life. We just don't learn how to do it. It's coming, fortunately, but it's not taught in schools. You see, I hope one day it will. But when you're pregnant, you realize that sometimes you feel the emotions of somebody you like. For example, your mom is not going well and you will feel it. And then the phone will ring and it's your mom telling you, oh, I have something to tell you. No. But you already knew somehow. It's very clear with emotions, usually. But it's true for the other parts of us. And while being pregnant, we have this close contact to this life coming, and the doors are easily open. So yeah, baby has something to tell us even before the beginning of pregnancy, actually, because we have to put a contract together, mommy, daddy, and baby. I often read, oh, the baby chews the parents. Okay, but the parents chew the baby also. It's really a meeting, and we all have the same importance in the contract. We are three, and we are much more, because you have the brothers and sisters, you have the grandparents and all the system, and you have your boss who maybe is not happy that you're pregnant again, and I don't know. This baby is not coming only with his or her mother and father. He's coming into a whole system, and he chooses the society, the time, the country, and so on. So he's, I should say, he's loaded with that. And if you're curious, I think that's a matter of curiosity. If you're curious enough, you can touch it, you can feel it, and you can chat with your baby when it's just an idea of having a baby.
And this is beautiful what you're saying. It's like, how do we allow ourselves into that sensitivity that is there, it's present, and we are in touch with it? For me, there's two things that come. The first thing is, all my life personally, I've been taught when I was a young person that I should never listen to that intuition, to this vision that I had, that I should stay away from it because that wasn't right. What was right was the person in front of me that knew better. And as soon as you start, so this is belief, you know, this is environmental, cultural belief that today we can change, and especially when we're pregnant, because the second point I wanted to share is that in the neuroscience today, when they study mummies, they find that physically there are differences when we are pregnant. So I don't know about before pregnancy, that would be incredible to bring this there, right? But when you're pregnant, the membrane, the physical membrane that exists between your conscious and your subconscious, your neocortex and other things, changes and it diminishes, which what you were speaking about, this suddenly you have access to another being because it's physically in you, but you have access because you're all your neurons, all your body changes to allow it.
And it's very interesting to see how the physical body understand this connection. Because at first, when the baby starts to grow, the body is wondering, hey, maybe that's an alien. Should I allow it to grow there? And the mummy will have a stomachache, she'll be sick, and you see something like a kind of poison into her body. And after a while, if there is a, oh, I'm looking for the right word. Maybe I could say when it's okay for all the bodies and all the aspects of the mother to be hired by the baby, then it just stops. One day you're sick when you wake up, and the day after it's just finished. I don't know if you lived that when you were pregnant, And it's often at the moment where when the placenta really starts to work. Before this period, it's the mother that's giving everything. And then when the placenta is starting to do its job, well, it's okay, you can stay here. Help yourself. Put your bed, your barbecue, welcome. You can stay here for a while, you see? And the physical body then says, okay, fine, welcome. And it just settles. And then the next part of the pregnancy is just about making a comfortable nest around this baby. And so you start to have a big belly and big boobs and big nest.
So this is in the physical body, how we develop and how the process is natural. It just happens, right? It's like a heartbeat. It's like how a body knows how to grow another human being, which is absolutely incredible. And when we add to this transformation and we just go with this transformation physically, as you were saying, and we allow to get in touch with our intuition, then it's an easier transformation to go through. And your example and your story is quite magical for that, I think, because obviously you ended up having a cesarean.
Yeah.
You had this incredible connection with your baby and with the system we're in and everything, you went through a well-lived cesarean, right?
Yeah. You see, actually, nowadays, it seems to me that for some women, giving birth through a cesarean could be kind of a failure because you just didn't get your baby born naturally. It's the most medical way to give birth. And I didn't leave this cesarean as a failure. It was the right thing to do at this right moment, even if it was absolutely not expected. We were prepared to have this baby as natural as possible. Even maybe at home if it was too fast to reach the hospital. And maybe you want me to tell the story a little?
Yeah, absolutely. Please develop what feels right for you. Absolutely. That's
everything. So when we reached actually the 9th month of pregnancy, baby was a big 4 kilos baby. Head down, feet in my stomach, everything perfect.
Absolutely.
And days were going on and I was watching at the moon saying, hey, full moon. Yeah, my baby will come after the full moon. Nope. Okay, let's wait a little more. Maybe new moon. Nope, doesn't work. And so I reached the moment when baby was really supposed to get to arrive, and so I went to hospital because in France, when we come to that date, we have an echography and some medical exams to check that everything is okay with the baby, especially if there is enough liquid. And actually, my baby had an Olympic swimming pool. She had plenty of liquid, which was great for her because her nest was really, really comfortable. But her head didn't push down enough. And so it didn't stimulate enough to let the birth to start. So I went back home, and then they told me, well, come back in 2 days. I went back 2 days after. And the baby had turned. She had turned. She was not totally reversed, but she had done more than a half round. And well, the surgeon was embarrassed, said, well, what will we do? Well, come back tomorrow. We'll try and turn the baby outside. See, they push on the belly to turn the baby. But after that, as you mentioned before, I used to talk often with my baby. And we had a little talk a few days before, seeing the date coming. We talked together, and the morning we came to the hospital, before she turns, I woke up with her voice telling me, I'm okay, I'm ready to come, whatever the way I come. And I said, okay. What do you mean, whatever the way? I guess there's only one way to come out, but okay. I listen to you. And so I knew she was ready. It was time for her to birth, to come with us. And when I realized she had beginning to turn, I tried some Chinese medicine to help her turn in the right way again. And it worked, but in the other way. That is, she finished to turn with head up.
I love your story. Each time I get like, whoa, I love your story.
When the surgeon tried to turn her, she just let him do. She was turning, and when he puts his way away, she just came back to her initial position. One time, twice, three times. And she said, well, I guess I won't manage to turn her. And I said, no, she just doesn't want. And it's also something that's can be painful for mothers when you try to turn the baby. But I have the luck to know hypnosis. So I was turning into self-hypnosis while he was trying to turn the baby. And I just didn't feel any pain. So I could still chat with him between two tries or even laugh. And it was okay. It was just, okay, just try. I tell you, my baby won't, but please try. Make your experience.
That was really a sharing the experience with the medical people. You were on board. There was collaboration here. I hear the collaboration between you and your baby, and then you, because you are like the interface, right, with the world, with the person doing the manipulation.
Yeah. And we came to the point that this baby was comfortably floating, her head up, and there was very little chance for her to engage in active birth. We could have forced the beginning of the birth, you see, with hormones and so on, and let her come upside down. But the medical staff wasn't really okay with that, because it was a big baby, and I was quite an old mummy in their criteria. I felt he didn't know how to propose me a cesarean, actually. So as we say in French, I put the feet in the plate. I don't know if there's something like that in English. Yeah, and said, okay,
obvious. You just said what was obvious and that needed to be said.
Yeah. I just put it in words. And I said, well, okay, you're telling me it will end with a cesarean. He said, yes, I think it would be safer. And so we had a look with my partner and the doc, and we said, well, you're here, I'm here. Let's go. Why should we wait longer? And Anaëlle was born half an hour later.
I really,
but it was,
yeah, please.
Sorry.
No, go.
No, it's okay. Please do.
I just love this simple way you speak about this experience that for a lot of people could be traumatic. Like, while we're saying we're going to cesarean, and so I even feel it through my body, you know, how it can bring so many disillusion. The way you've been through that and listening to your story, and I know we can continue and explain what happened, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful story that continues. But it's what I feel is this link with your baby, the way you develop your link with your baby helped you to go through that.
Yeah, exactly. I knew it was the right time for her. She really told me, I'm ready to come, whatever the way. It was so clear afterwards. I said, okay, you did it on purpose, actually. And I guess she did. Because my body being cut, it was necessary. It was not violent. It was to set memories free. And it had to be physically cut to let this memory fly away, which I realized afterwards.
Wow.
So it was a gift. It was a gift from my baby for her to come that way. And of course, there was a very little moment when I felt, oh, I won't live this birth. I won't really leave this birth. It will happen. So it just happens. I won't feel nothing, and the baby will be there in a few minutes. But it didn't last. It was a really, really short moment, because I was so happy, saying, well, I have my baby in within a few minutes, my baby will be in my arms. That's so great. And yeah, that was nice. And the dad had already three children from a previous couple. Two of them were born by cesarean. So there was no fear for him, because he had already lived that. He knew better than me what was going to happen, actually. And so it was for him, it was something like, again, well, let's do it. There was no drama.
He didn't bring any emotional baggage into the room.
Especially no fear, because it did bring emotion. He was as happy as me. We were. If I could, I would be jumping everywhere. Well, I couldn't really jump at this stage, but inside I was jumping, you see. And he was also very excited, but there was no fear. There was no, we were sure, hey, okay. Open, cut, take the baby away. Close the door and that's fine. And it was okay. And what's really marvelous is that Anna started her life skin to skin with her dad for 2 hours. And her dad had things to heal from his first story. And from the beginning, in a way, she said to her father, "Hey, it will be different with me. It's a really new story starting." And that's just beautiful.
This is amazing. Amazing. And I every experience are here to uplift us. They're here. We started, I think, the conversation like this, saying, you know, that there's things to take. There are experiences, there are ups and there are downs. And how can we bring joy and see the positive in what we're going through, even in birth, even if it goes another way? I mean, and it's beautiful when you said that you think that this experience helped you clear some memories from your body. Mm-hmm. So it actually was kind of a needed part of your own journey.
It was totally. And I never had a cesarean before. So for me too, it was a new story, a new way of beginning. And it's perfect, you see, that so there's no comparison with what happened in our life before. We're just brand new parents with this little baby. And okay, there are older sisters and brothers, 20 years older, but it's just our first time, actually.
It's the first time with the dad, so it's just it's a new, every time I think is a first time, because it's the first time at the part of the life we're in, right?
Of course, but in this case, it was really obvious.
Yeah.
We had to start with new patterns, with new way of doing, because of course we were not the same as we were for the first, and we had this link with the baby, because her father don't know how to talk with her as clearly as I do, but he does feel many, many things. So he was not surprised when I told him on that morning, "Hey, you know, I have a message from the baby. She said she's ready to come no matter the way." He said, "Okay." It happens to be a normal discussion in our family.
I think there's two things that are important in what you're saying. Is first, the way you have included your partner in this experience. That it's also a journey for the man that we've conceived the baby with. They also have their own development and transformation that happens while this baby arrives in our lives.
That's why I said the contract has 3 signatures, you see, mom, dad, and baby. And dad is essential. Very important to give him his place even before the baby is born.
We've experienced
and that. And I shared with him what I was feeling, what I was experiencing, and he was able to maybe just to believe me, which is not so easy after all. And he really had a link with her daughter before she was born. Many, many dads know that when they put the hand and the baby is just coming, they putting his back against the hand, and they think, "Oh yes, scratch me the back."
They love that. They search for the connection, right?
Yeah, of course.
That they know the other children and the closest people from us. They are searching for the interaction, right?
And Anael knew her father, because as soon as she was born and she was skin to skin with him, she just quiet and fall asleep and enjoy these 2 hours with her dad. She was not in distress, not being with her mother. She was perfectly secure with her father.
Wow. And how did that disconnection from the start with you, these 2 hours, affect your breastfeeding?
Oh, did it affect it, actually? I don't know.
How? It had an effect, right? So how was it, the start of the breastfeeding with that? It's just a question that came to me. I've got no idea why.
Actually, just after the cesarean, Anael couldn't have a first breast feed, of course, because she had to go with her father. But on the way to the room where I was resting, they stopped my bed in the room where Anael and her father were having skin to skin for a few minutes, maybe 10 minutes or so. And so I took Anael against me and I breastfed her for the first time. We had this little time. And as soon as we were back together in the room, we did it again. And she spent nearly the whole day skin to skin with me it was an open bar, you see. Drink as much as you want, it's okay for me. And so the medical staff told me, you know, after a cesarean the milk may have more difficulties to come. It can be longer, it can be less easy. But it wasn't the case, actually. I didn't let my baby cry on this 2 or 3 first days. And I was just trying to bring the nest she had inside outside. So there was no room for her to be distressed, feared, or something like that. There was no room for any in comfort for her. And she discovered breastfeeding. She loved it. She knew perfectly how to do it as soon as we tried. And she was very efficient, and the milk came on the third day. And no, it was not. It was not affected by the cesarean. Not at all.
But as you said, it was also your beliefs that made it a simple process. Your understanding of, you know, that Anael should be from this bowl that they are in their belly. When they come out, they have the same requirement, which is our skin and stay into a happy, peaceful mode. Whatever the environment said around you that could have put fear inside your belief, inside your way of thinking, but you just kept, no, that's okay, you know, I'm gonna go the way I think is good for me and my baby, and much more like in the intuition and in your core self, right?
And I was also lucky to be my age, and that she was my fourth baby. So in a way, I had nothing to prove, and I was in position to say, that's good for me, that's it, and that's all, you see? So I guess it would have been different if it had been my first baby. I remember when I had my first boy, I was 22. And both grandmas have had their opinions about what I should do. I guess every woman knows this point where you have let her cry. No, don't let him cry. And you see, and they never agree anyway. They never. And you're just in the middle and you say, so maybe I will believe my mother. Okay. Because she raised me. I know she did good. Well, my mother-in-law did the same with my husband. Oh, who should I believe? And we're not as self-confident as when we already have children. What saved me at that time is that I was in my medical studies. So in a way, I said to my mum and my mum-in-law, thank you very much. I'm sorry. I will do in my way because I'm the doctor.
you use this position of authority that you had from somewhere else to just put yourself in the position of, hey, that's my baby and I'm a doctor. I love it.
Which is a nonsense, because you can be a doctor and not know how to be a mother, you see. But it worked.
But it was a way to just put a stepping stone and say, this is my territory.
That's it. And of course, for Anaëlle, for the fourth one, it was okay. It was the question didn't even happen. And the medical staff in the hospital, it's so cute. I should say cute. You see, they were, we had softened the light. We had put some smooth music, and the room was very calm, except when the four sister and brother were here. But usually the room was very calm, and when the medical staff came in, they stopped at the door and said, "Wow, it's so good to be in your room." They really felt that they were coming into a cocoon, you see. We really managed to create intimacy in the hospital. We were at home in our cocoon, even if we were at the hospital. And all the staff felt it.
And that's very important. What you're saying here is that wherever you are, make that moment a cocoon of your own, a space that belongs to you, your baby, your partner, your family. You know, we have the chance here to have rooms in places. So it's how can we be grateful for it and how can we make it in our own touch?
That's it. You bring the cocoon. The hospital won't give it to you.
No.
You have to create it. But it is possible too. And that's great. Yeah.
It belongs, the cocoon belongs to us. It's our energy, right, that can create it. And we can also bring material stuff in the environment to make it our own. As you said, dim the lights, put your own music in. But it really is, let's stop expecting the well-being to come from the outside.
I'm responsible for my comfort and the bubble I create around my newborn baby.
And in my life, full stop, right?
Of course. Because if you manage to do it in these circumstances, you will remember that you're able to do it anywhere. In any case in your life, you remember, oh, it doesn't depend on the outside, it depends on me. What do I want to create? And if you can create this cocoon around you when you travel complicated moments in life, it's easier, of course.
Wow. That's a beautiful way to go through life.
Yeah.
And it brings and it, confidence.
Yeah. In me and in life. And it opened the space to keep connected with my baby. I was not, I didn't have to learn how to change
the nappy.
The nappy, how to give a bath, how to breastfeed, because she did it very well again. And but I did have something important to do, is to help her understand that she was now in a physical body. You see, before we talked together, and she was a unlimited being. She was not limited by a physical body. And suddenly she was kind of trapped into a tiny physical body that she couldn't even control. What, that hand in my nose? I don't want my hand to be in my nose. And we really kept in touch, and I was introducing her to her body. And for example, when she started to have a pain in her belly, every baby does. I had felt what it was like after the cesarean, when it started to work again, and it was painful. I think it was the most painful thing in the cesarean, when it started to work again. And I said, wow, usually I don't even feel it, and now it's a big pain for me. Wow, that's interesting. So when my baby had these pains, I was able to tell her, hey, don't panic. It's just your body starting to work. It has never done that before. And so, I had a very scientific talk, I realized. I told her, well, your brain doesn't know this feeling. And so it's frightening for him. It's a warn. He has to be careful. So it multiply the sensations and make it something painful. But it's okay. It's just your body starting to do its job. Relax. And she never had any pain again. She never cried again because of her stomach or her transit or so. She had the information. It's okay, it's just starting. If I had panicked and say, my baby is aching, what can I do? Oh, I turn you this way. Oh no, I will turn you this way. I put hot, I put warm, I don't know what to do, you see? Maybe I should eat that or stop coffee or do I don't know what. I would have been totally exploded in many lots, whereas I was just here as one and tell her what was happening. But it's because I had felt it in my body just before, thanks to the cesarean. And because I really felt that she was kind of, hey, it wasn't written in the contract. I couldn't do a walk by myself and talk. And how long will I wait for this, you see?
What is that all about? Why am I here?
Yeah, I didn't write all the little lines before I signed down. And she had to be accompanied to that. But once, as soon as she had the information, it was okay. It was okay.
Wow, this is amazing. This is, it's just how to approach accompanying our babies with another layer, right? We add another layer of cake and say, hey, you've got all this knowledge, and look at, you know, and just try it. Try to explain things and see how your baby reacts, because it's all about tests. We experience it, and that extra communication with them in explaining them, and already looking at them as evolved human beings. It's what they are, you know.
Sure.
And they need that. We need to feed their different bodies, as you were saying. Like, we need to feed our own bodies. They have the same needs, and when we offer this to them, then they're okay. As long as they understand, they're okay.
I guess I didn't talk her this. I just sent the information to her. You see, I put it in words here, but actually I didn't talk to her. It's just that when you're really unified inside, you see, thinking, talking, doing, all in coherence, then you can emit an information, and the baby is a super champion to catch it and integrate it. And we discovered that Anael is a big master, because if we are not coherent inside, she just refuses any contact with us, with me or with her dad. And so in a way, she asks her to be really here and there with her. And if we come to her for anything, to play, to eat, to put on our clothes or so on, and we're thinking of something else, or we're already in, oh, after that, I have to talk to da, 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 she will just look at you and say, no.
Try just again.
No.
Try to be present with me. And then it. We will go and do the things we want me to do together.
And so I gather myself in only one place and I say, hey, look, I'm here for you. And now this is what we're going to do if you're okay. And then she says, okay. Wow. And there's no cry and there's no tantrum and there's no, it's just easy. But she's a very hard master.
But they are. That's what our children are, I think. They are the hardest masters that we get into this life, because they're sponges, as you explain it. And when there is like an opening in us, they just know exactly where to go. And it works every time. And it's a fantastic way to learn, to relearn, and to de-learn, deconstruct and reconstruct. To change
it up. It is if you realize how it works. Otherwise, you'll just say, oh, this child is totally she wants to direct everything and everybody. She's I can't deal with her. I don't know how to do, you see. She's now nearly 2 years old. And if I was, and her dad, if we didn't have this consciousness of how it works between us, she would cry a lot and make big tantrums because it wouldn't work as she wants. And it doesn't mean that we do everything that she wants, but when she feels that we're aligned and that is like that, and what you really want will happen just after or later on, she can delay, she can wait. It's not a fight, you see.
It requests a lot of self-control and self-love.
I'm supposed to be the adult anyway, so I'm supposed to deal with my emotions and my internal life and feelings and so on. She doesn't have to deal with them. I have to, because if I deal with my feelings and my emotions, I'm showing her how to do with hers. And the only way to do.
Absolutely. Thank you, Marie-Laure.
Thank you.
Beautiful interview. There was lots of ideas of how to bring an extra layer to the cake of of how to go on with our maternities, our beautiful children, and the birth of ourselves differently every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Max. It was a really pleasant moment for me too.
The episode is now finished. I really hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is here for you. Please contact me to give feedback, suggestions, and themes that you would like that we discuss. You can find out all the information from my guests and my contacts in the text underneath the episode. I believe that it is together that we go further. So please help me to connect with a maximum of pregnant couples to support them in their enlightened choices. Go on Apple Podcasts, find the podcast Authentic Birth, scroll down to the bottom of the page and find the section Ratings and Reviews. Click on the number of stars that you would like to give to support the podcast. 5 is the best to diffuse the message further. Looking forward to seeing you on the next episode. And in the meantime, look after yourself. Each birth is unique. May yours be truly authentic.